Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Lemonade Podcast, and it's in 2018. I told you all I would come back, and I did not come back alone. I came back with a friend of the podcast. You might remember from the episode Must Be Two Bibles. I have with me Alyssa Thompson. Hey.
Hey girl. So glad to be back.
Yeah, no, I had to have you come back because I just didn't want to come back by myself. And then two, there's a lot that's happened in the new year, and we're only 5 days in at the day that we're recording this right now. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about. But before we do that, how was your new year? Or how has the new year been for you?
It has been really good. Got a lot of great projects coming up that I'm doing. I rested over the holidays, so that got me the energy to get at it. And 2018 is looking pretty good so far. Just need to continue to be good and keep the foolery at bay.
For real, but it's done a terrible job of doing that. So,
of course, people are going to people, child.
Oh, people are going to people all day long. So I guess before we start getting into that, is there something that you hope stays in 2017 that hasn't like crept its way back into 2018? Anything?
Well, we've seen the ashes have started. So can we keep them in 2017? Like, can they stay back there? Because, yeah, I think that'd be my resolution. Keep the ashes at bay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I would like to keep in 2017, but if we're going to talk about just Twitter specific, maybe stop tagging folks to long tweets with 48 other names and then tagging more people. Because, you know, it's fine, but after a while, it starts to add up. And then, you know, if we could just be a little bit more mindful before adding and tagging. So that's all. Okay.
Yeah. Like, the mute button is a blessing.
The mute button is a blessing, for real. All day long. I love it. Sometimes I tweet and I just mute the tweet right after I've tweeted it.
Yeah, if I see something wild in my mentions, I'm like, let me mute this conversation. Okay. Let me just go on.
Yeah, and I've been doing a better job about just not engaging with folks that I can tell from just their tweet alone, their reply, that they're just really there just to be a shithead. So I've done really good about that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, because it makes no sense to be arguing with these fools. I know I've just stopped. I'm like, okay, you gonna act a fool? Let me mute and block you and keep it moving. My blood pressure, my peace of mind are too important to be bothered.
For real. So guys, I really don't have too much to talk to you all about as far as comics are concerned. The only thing that I've read recently that has just really had me like, oh, I got to tell the whole world about this is a comic that you haven't read yet because it's not out, but you can pre-order it at your local comic book store or comic book shop, sorry. Or pre-order it through Comixology, which I just learned the publishers or whomever, they count those as sales. So the same way you would pre-order at your LCS, you can do that on Comixology, but it counts. So just to keep that in mind, because I'm someone who believes that, you know, get it how you can. So if it's digitally, get it that way. If you can make yourself, I mean, you know, get to a store or you have a store that you go to, go there, just whatever. But if you love something enough, then, you know, pre-order it, and now you can do that digitally. And well, you've been able to do it, but now we know that it counts. So back to this comic. It's called The Wilds, and it's by Via Ayala and Emily Pearson. You can pre-order it now. I think the first issue is out, and I want to say this month, January, but I also don't want to be wrong. So just bear with me, because I thought I had this in my notes, and I did not.
I'm going to have to check that out still, because I need to use my Comixology subscription more. I'm glad you're talking about
it. Yeah, because, no, for sure, because when I learned it, I was like, okay, great. Then I don't feel as guilty sometimes when I don't make it to the comic shop to like reserve something. Mm-hmm. I will do it on, you know, Comixology because it comes like that day and like, oh, right, I was supposed to get that. So Back to the Wild, it will be out in February. I knew it was coming out soon. I just could not remember when. So this comic will be out in February. So be on the lookout for it. But I really enjoyed it. So it's a sci-fi body horror. Well, no, I'm not going to say body horror. A sci-fi apocalypse. Everything is gone to shit pretty much. And of course, those that are surviving are having to deal with the aftermath and then also each other. So this book stars a queer woman of color. You definitely get to see her romance in the first issue, which is great. Oh. And it's a really good Vita and Emily do a really, really great job of building this world and giving you just enough where you're not lost and trying to figure out like where the hell you are or what's going on, but not enough so that you'll want more and want to learn more in the second issue. So the first issue, really, really enjoyed it. I really do hope you all pre-order it when it's out in February. I, of course, will still be talking about it. I'm actually going to have Vita onto the show a little, hopefully before the book comes out. If not, it'll probably be the same month that it comes out. But that was something that I really, really enjoyed. And the only book I've really been thinking about it, I did read some of Rise of the Black Panther. And I don't know. I'm on the fence about Coates with Black Panther. Like before I was for it and I enjoyed it, but then the pacing wise, it just kind of got, it was like kind of hard to stay interested because things were kind of moving at such a methodical pace. I wasn't necessarily a fan of his direction that he took with Shuri. Now that I've gone back and read, Reginald Hudlin introduced her, which I'm still not, I'm not very crazy about either. And also the way Barry or Mayberry, the way that he wrote her and others. And I miss the spunky, fiery, do what she can, Shuri. The subdued one, I get it and I understand why he took that route, because if she was gone for all that time and in another realm of life, then she, I would hope, would get wise. But I don't know. Just having mixed feelings about that, especially because I really enjoy Letitia Wright. And I feel like she fits that spunkier Shuri. And I guess we'll find out when we see Black Panther. But yeah, The Rise of the Black Panther, like, it's fine. It's not terrible. It's fine. So, I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. Like, it's fine. Like, the current Black Panther that's going on, like, that is a series that I have to wait until, like, I'll get the books as they come out each month, but I wait until, like, four or five of them are in front of me so that I could just read them all at once. Because, again, Coates' writing, I don't even want to call it dense. It's just... it's like moving through taffy. That's what it feels like. So, and I mean, you know, at least he seems to love, I mean, hope that he loves women, but the way that he writes his women characters, you can tell that, you know, he doesn't hate women, I guess. So that's a plus. I'm rambling now because I'm trying to avoid bringing up the Storm solo comic, but yeah. So Rise of Black Panther was fine. I'm all caught up on Mr. Miracle, a book that I hope you guys are reading because Tom King is doing an amazing job with it. And we just learned that Ava DuVernay's favorite character or favorite superhero is Big Brada, and she's in Mr. Miracle. So if you haven't tried that out, you should. So Violet said, if you haven't read that yet, I would recommend. I think the trade is out for the first trade for Mr. Miracle. I think you might like it.
Oh, I'll definitely check that out.
So yeah, again, like, I think that's kind of like really it for comics. You know, guys know I read them, but it's just some of them I read in passing, and others, you know, they're enough where I'm just like, okay, well, I do have to talk about this because maybe others aren't. Okay. So moving on from comics to the more juicier part of the things that have happened so far in 2018, Black Mirror premiered on the 29th of December, and I foolishly binged it all in one day, which tells me that this season must have not been as effed up as previous seasons, because previous seasons I haven't, well, the first time I actually did sit and binge season one on accident, because I didn't know that there were only three episodes a season, I was pretty messed up and I vowed to never do it again. But I did on Friday. And but listen, you haven't seen any of them, have you?
No, I haven't seen any of it, but I've heard the controversy about, I believe, the crocodile episode. And
yeah, that episode was shit.
I'm trying to brace myself. I may try to watch it this weekend. But I'm just like, let me get ready.
Yeah. Yeah, just be ready to be just deeply, deeply irritated and just feeling some kind of way, especially because of how out of control the main character is. And she's a white woman. The whole time I just kept thinking, all 54%, right? Or was it 54%? What is it now? What happened to Alabama? 63?
Yeah. It was 53. Right. I think 63, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something ridiculous, but I just, not even just that, but I just, like, why, spoiler alert, because I'm not really going to spoil it, but I am going to spoil it. So, Vilas, if you don't mind, if you've already read some of the BS. Okay.
So, go ahead.
And those of you that have not watched, you know, just turn this off or fast forward about 15 seconds. But a family of color is killed in this episode. And it's just like, wow, so we're still doing this same tired trope. That was like my biggest thing with Logan, and something that I really disliked about that movie. Like, that went, that had not happened, had Eric LaSalle's family not been killed and just Professor X got the knife in the chest, and cool. But when that happened, I was like, oh, well, now I can't enjoy this movie as much as I wanted to and originally was enjoying it before that happened. I just don't get it. Like, for what?
It just feels very sensational when they do the tropes like that.
Like, yeah, it's tired. So if we couldn't. So moving on. So Black Mirror season 4, just summing up on how I felt about it, is I wasn't too crazy about it. Like, it was, I really enjoyed Black Museum, of course. And the first episode, USS Callister, I enjoyed that. But I don't know. This season just felt, it wasn't terrible, but it, compared to the other three seasons, like, I didn't think it was the best. I actually probably might rank this one last. Don't ask me where I ranked the other ones. I still don't know. But this one would probably be last. So moving on from that, did you hear about the fake Black Panther boycott?
Yes, I did. I still don't understand how this occurred and why we as Black women are boycotting. But I'm like, oh okay. Okay. This is what we're doing already in the first couple of days of 2018. The headassery is in full effect.
Right. And then, like, when I had seen it initially, like, I just kept scrolling because I was like, what I read didn't register in my brain, nor did it make sense. So it probably wasn't really there. So I just kept on scrolling. And then later, like, I kept repeatedly seeing it. And I'm just like, what is this? And what is everybody talking about? So then when I, you know, followed the trail and did a little research, I'm like, so some ashy-kneed, crust lip, in need of Vaseline Negro is not what I'm going to assume. And I'll be an ass for assuming that because I'm probably still right. But anyway, saw that. No, what happened was a IG group So this is what they saw. This is what the Ashneys saw. Some IG group who only, the picture that they put together only got like 6 likes or something ridiculous like that. And it was saying that something about Michael B. Jordan dating a woman who was a non-Black woman, and how they were just going to boycott the film now. So some Ashneys snot-nosed Negro seeing this and I guess started this whole thing about Black women, you know, sabotaging the Black Panther movie, boycotting, all this other stuff. And meanwhile, I'm putting in a PTO request to get this day off for the movie. So, just like...
For real.
I mean, you know, as long as no one's sexually assaulting anyone or beating anyone up, beating anybody or anything like that, if the worst, it's not even the worst, if this is the only thing that you think we would wait, I mean, like, no. Like, what? I'm not boycotting this movie. So that was just, and then when people ask for receipts, nobody could provide them. Maybe a random tweet here and there, but nobody could provide them. And it was just irritating. I think there is a piece that is available on Black Girl Nerds that was written about how the internet, yet again, failed Black women when it came to this fake boycott. Mm-hmm. It's just irritating. It's just like, I don't care. Like, I literally do not care.
Nobody cares. Then can we leave that in 2017, the ridiculousness of Black women being mad at Black men who date outside their race? Because let me tell you something. Sisters, like myself, we are getting the Ethans and Scotts too, honey. We're not worried about what Hakeem and Malik doing with Becky. Trust me. We are not concerned. So can we leave that behind? Because, we don't care. Like, none of the Black women in my life care about what they're doing with other non-Black women. As long as you're not dating someone who's downing Black people or Black women and at least not getting upset about not knowing how to do their baby's hair, I don't care who you date, honey. Nobody does. Can we leave that ridiculousness in 2017? Because why? And it's ridiculous. Like, I saw that. I'm like, who cares? Like, Michael B. Jordan, you know, I would still want him. I don't care if he's dating a Martian. I would still want those soup coolers on his face. Okay? I don't care. I don't care who he's dating.
Right. No. I just like, okay. And it's funny, though, because whenever this conversation is brought up, I just feel like it's just some Black man bringing this up. And I'm just like, no one said. Who said that?
Man that nobody wants. Black, white, anything else. Every song.
So y'all gonna have to try harder than that.
For real.
If y'all want to pin something on us, like, yeah, just try harder, because no.
And you gotta do better to prevent us from going to see this movie too. Like, come on.
Right. Come on. It's gonna have to be something terrible. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Like, for real, like a sexual allegation or something like that. Where I'm just kind of like, well, this has tainted it for me. I don't even know if I want to enjoy this.
That's about so, it. Yeah.
Someone voting for 45. You know what? I don't even want to put that in the atmosphere. I don't even want to know.
You don't need to know that. I need to have at least some respect. Now, if you voted for 4 to 5 and you're part of that movie, just keep that to yourself. Just put it
please,
in your
take that to memoir. Grave.
Have that published when you're dead, and you know, like, put that in there. Don't put that out here. Please don't.
Right. Just take that with you to meet Jesus. Because no. So we got some really good news. Well. It could be really good news to, you know, still good news because of for this actress, but fuck y'all. So the news I'm talking about is DaWanda Wise, whom you might know from Underground, which I hope you do because Underground was good. And also recently, she's got to have it. DaWanda Wise, again, that's her name. And she was cast for a major role in Captain Marvel. I read some reports that said alongside Captain Marvel or whatever. So to me, a Black woman when I read that, and a fan of comics and a fan of the character that a lot of folks associate with Captain Marvel, because she was Captain Marvel before Carol was, is Monica Rambeau. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's not far-fetched because they are filming in New Orleans. And guess where Monica Rambeau is from? New Orleans. So, I mean, yes. The studios do stuff all the time, especially these superhero movies or any adaption where somebody of color, a Black woman, is cast as something that we don't know yet, and then we find out later it's a damn alien or something like that. Yes, does that happen? It does. But when you see some folks being very excited about a casting, and it's not too far-fetched that it could indeed be that character, I don't know. Maybe not tweet at them or say anything like, oh, well, you know, don't get your hopes up too high because it could be so-and-so. No shit. I'm pretty sure they're aware. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the possibility that she could be Monica Rambeau. That is all. And if she's not Monica Rambeau, then that fucking sucks. But it's like, it's not like it's something new. I mean, can we just not kill hope right off the bat in 2018? Just a little bit. Just a touch.
Can people stay in their lane in 2018?
No. No, all lanes are open. Oh, the dividers are up. No.
Seeing that burnt me up. I'm like, stay the hell out of people mentions and tagging people. Like, stop that. Okay, we understand, like you were saying, that they could screw up our dreams. We understand that. But let us be in our joy just for a little while. Can't we have our joy just for a little bit? Is it that hard to at least give us
just
that?
For a moment.
Just for a moment. That's all we ask for.
Just a moment. So, I mean, I really hope that she is Monica Rambeau. That would be everything. I would actually go purchase my ticket for this movie if it was available for purchase. So, we'll see. I mean, maybe hopefully they paid attention to the reaction and well reception that Black Panther got by, you know, showing that. And before you get, put the tweet away. Before you say something like, well, it's in Africa, so why wouldn't it have Black people? Just let's not be that. Let's not. Come on. Because you already know that's not even what I am saying or anyone else is saying when they say that Black Panther movie did a really great job of showing that the women have what looks like prominent roles. Like they're going to be active in the movie like they were in Luke Cage. So.
Right.
So let's not. Please don't. If you tweet that at me, I promise you, I will gift the fuck out of you in the most obscene way. So, moving on to that, there's something that's not all that, didn't even make me feel all that great when I seen it, was the trailer for the movie Stepsisters.
Ooh.
So, I do remember hearing about this earlier last year and just saying, not sure when that movie's being made in 2017, but okay. And I let it go. And then I found out what wonderfulness Lena Raif was. And I said, oh, well, if she's writing this, then maybe I could give it a chance. Perhaps. Still don't know why this is being made in 2017, but okay. And then the trailer came out, and then I watched the trailer, and then I said, wow, if I watch this, it will probably be in silence because I will not tell anybody. I will not tweet about this because what the fuck? So, Vanessa, I know I've been talking most of this episode, and I do apologize. I don't know why I'm being Chatty Cathy today, but the floor is yours because you are a part of a Black Greek organization. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I've been a Zeta B. 12 years, and that's Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, for those of you who are not very versed on Black Greek life. Steph actually put me on, because I haven't heard about this movie, and before we recorded, I watched the trailer and Steph heard me laugh hysterically about.
She almost broke my speaker that the sound up too high.
And whoo. Yeah, I'm like, really? In 2018 we gonna do this and then also do this on January the 19th? And for those of you who are not very versed, January is when almost half of NPHC has their Founders Day. But I feel like there's a little shade in there, you know, with with this movie coming out. But luckily, it's not coming out on anybody's Founders Day, thank God. But
for real.
But as a Black woman who, I know we don't like to say pledge, but pledge, and at a PWI, we had Greek Week, and basically that was when NPHC, which is the entity that houses the Black sororities and fraternities, and PC, which is the entity where the traditionally white sororities, and FIC, which is for the traditionally white fraternities, we would come together for that week and do different activities. And at the end of the week, we have a step show. And so we would use that week to teach the white folks how to step. So that movie really brought back some hilarious memories of that time when I was an undergrad. And why the hell do we need this? I don't get that. It reminds me of a very twisted Bring It On. I know I had mentioned that to Steph earlier. I was like, yeah, that's this isn't good. It's not needed. And it really felt like the Black character is saving this group. Like, it just had that very white women feel to it, and teaching them and being their teacher. And I'm just like, out of with all the good things that's coming out featuring Black women, do we need, why does this exist? Like, it seems like to be a slap in the face of all the good things, all the good representation of Black women and the empowerment that we're feeling. And here we are saving Black women. I think the premise of the movie is saving them from a scandal and then using that as a way to get the Black character what she wants, which is to go to Harvard. So I'm just like, oh, that is a bad person. Like, why would you do that?
Because it's not like Bring It On, which originally this hat made me think of, but no, in Bring It Orange, Bring It On, you know, the routine from the Black cheerleading group is being stolen right. by the white cheerleading group, and they still end up losing at the end of the movie.
Right.
So they didn't win. They had to learn how to do something on their own, and the Black girl still won. So this does not feel like that nor seem like that. So it's just like, on one hand, I do not want to watch it, but on the other hand, I'm just like, but I want to kind of support Lena Raith. So I don't know.
I say if you want to watch it,
it's on Netflix. It's not like I got to go to the movies to see it. So to be on there,
whatever your vice is, have it while watching this, whether you like weed, wine, whatever. Be inebriated with something if you watch this. I think that's the best way to go about it.
I agree. And speaking of something that maybe you need to be inebriated to see, and I have not watched, I haven't watched it because I've heard whatever I've heard about it, but the movie Bright, did you watch that?
Oh, no. Mm-mm. I knew better. Everybody talk about that. Nah, bro. I'm good.
And like, I haven't watched it because I'm just like, I don't want to watch it. Like, I'm not interested in seeing orcs and fairies and stuff like that, and I'm definitely not interested in seeing a story about race relations and stuff like that in terms of, I mean, like, being used as, or this being used as an allegory for that, because I'm like, I just don't fucking care. So maybe it's on Netflix. It's already got a sequel, so I didn't hate watch it, so I didn't add to that, so I guess I'll hang my little hat on that. But yeah, it's on Netflix. I don't know, maybe one night when I am on one of my vices, as Melissa stated earlier about watching Stepsisters, maybe I will give it a try, but it probably won't be anytime soon. I'm just not interested. That's it. Max Landis, whatever, but I just don't care.
I'm gonna be shady for a second and say, while Netflix is spending money on Bright and Stepsister, they could have spent that money on Underground. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, you have a very valid point. No lie was told. So the next thing I wanted to talk about were two shows that premiered in the new year, and that would be Grown-ish, which you watched. I have not watched yet. It's on my DVR, but I just haven't had a chance to watch it. And 911, which I did watch. I was able to watch that during work all while on lunch, which was nice. So Grown-ish, I'll let you talk about Grown-ish first, because like I said, I haven't watched it. Did you watch it the night that it premiered, the day after? Did you like it and all that?
I did watch it like premiere. I really liked it. It reminded me of Undergrad, and you're being young, you're making foolish mistakes, and you're kind of doing something that's out of your character. I really like the fun of Zoe's character, and I don't know, it just really just made me reminiscent of that time, just being in a new environment, in a new world, figuring out who you are in separation of your family, really her dynamics with some of the guys that she's crushing on made me giggle, because I'm like, oh God, that would be something foolish I would do. but I just really feel like it was just very realistic. I think sometimes we watch shows about that time, being a young person, it doesn't really feel authentic, but I was like, okay, I like this. It's very appropriate. I really feel that it's something that I think we need for this time, to have a young adult college themed series. I think every generation has that. I'm glad that this generation of kids has grown-ish. We've had some that's within our time as millennials. So I really felt that it was a very cute show. I really like it. Like I said, it just made me kind of miss those days. I don't miss making the bonehead decisions, but I miss kind of like just being in that time to where, you're just learning and just out here, and it was very nice. And I think it'd be something that you would like. I know I mentioned to you, I saw the Black Girls Nerd article, I think Joy wrote about the comparisons people are making between Grown-ish and A Different World. And I really feel that those are very inappropriate comparisons. Mm-hmm. Because Zoe is going to a PWI, whereas A Different World was based at an HBCU, so it's going to be some very differences there. But I think Joy made some good points in saying how, just give, new shows that have this premise, it's time to shine and time to grow and be its own entity and not have to live up to expectations of classics in the past. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind with our shows, particularly for a generation that wasn't, really alive. A Different World was created. So I think that's a very good critique that Joy gave, and I see us do that a lot with shows. And I really feel that Zoe is having her Black experience at a PWI, and I think for those of us who went to PWIs, we'd be able to relate to that in some ways, and to really see those dynamics in that, which is different from A Different World. A Different World to me is in its own category. I don't think anybody would be able to come up with something like that. I'm not sure they try to mimic something that was, to me, done very perfectly. So I just really feel like Grown-ish has the potential to make its own mark and to really be something for this group and for those of us who remember that time, could just kind of make us kind of laugh and think about those days and just enjoy it.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I'm looking forward to watching it from when I saw of the tweets of it and what everyone has pretty much had to say, like they really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to watching Grown-ish. I'll probably get to it sometime this weekend, I'm sure. Which actually, I'm surprised. You know what? Yes, I will get to Grown-ish sometime this week. So, but the show that I did get a chance to watch yesterday was 911, which also, when I saw people tweeting about it, seemed like pretty positive and people really enjoyed it. And I was just looking at some of the tweets, I'm like, this show can be like, it's not that wild. Like, that's, it's Fox and all that's not going on. So then I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. So it was that wild. So I think some of the things that I really enjoyed about the show was one, them showing the dispatcher side of things. Mm-hmm. So like how involved they are and all of that. I love that. What else? Of course, Angela Bassett's wig.
Yes.
She had that Bernadine wig on, so that's how you knew it was going to be an episode. I mean, it was going to be a show. Aisha Hines looks amazing, and she is a firefighter / EMT in the show. You have Oliver Stark, who's in it. If you remember, he was writer in Into the Badlands. And I just really enjoyed it. Like, it was... I mean, I wasn't nonstop action because it wasn't like nonstop action, like actual action going on, but it was nonstop in as far as story pacing went. So it went quickly, but not so quickly that you couldn't keep up, but like it just flowed very well. Like they went from one emergency to another with breaks in between, with things going, like personal things going on with the different characters that we were introduced to. But it's going to be a show that I'm going to watch on the regular. I might not be able to catch it the night it premieres, but it's definitely a show I'll be watching the next day if I can.
Oh, definitely. I really liked it too. And I really liked the interaction between Aisha and Angela's characters. Like, you have at work and like you could see that bond there. I really liked them capturing that, because that's definitely real with, you know, if you have a sister girl at the job or, you know, in whatever that you're doing that you're close with, you know, you see if you have that bond there. So I really like them portraying that very well.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love that they actually showed that, because sometimes you don't know, like there might be two Black characters on the show or two Black women on the show, but like they really don't have interactions like that, which is weird, and not just in shows, but that happens in comics a lot too. So that's just I was very happy to see that. And then how did you feel? I mean, there's nothing to feel, but someone has said something to me in the comments and I was just like, I'm just going to block you because I don't have time. But Angela Bassett's husband being gay, and then I guess them trying to, I guess, I don't know what they're doing. I know they read the hell out of each other after breakfast.
Yeah, that had her a little worried with how that could play out. I don't want to be offensive. Like, it has me worried, you know, and because I don't want that to go left, and so that could easily go left with that storyline.
No, it definitely can, and like I can already tell with some of the reception for some folks, like, oh, they just had to make her husband gay. I'm just like, but wait, what? So then it just continues with heterosexual people or cishet folks, straight folks, just really being shitty and showing how homophobic and transphobic they are, which shouldn't be any surprise because of Dave Chappelle. This, I didn't even know he had more. I know he had more in one recent stand-up that I think maybe I watched the first 15 minutes of, but then I ended up cutting off because I was just like, I don't feel like doing this right now. And then that was it. And then I heard about some of the jokes that he makes in that. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not about to watch it now. Just because to me, like, if you're still having to rely on that type of thing to be funny, being transphobic, homophobic, sexual assault, joking about sexual assault and all that stuff like that, like, you're not really like, you're being lazy as far as being funny. So yeah. And then I didn't even know he had a second stand up, I guess, recently, because this conversation is happening again currently online, or was a few days ago. And I'm just like, what else is there to apologize for Dave Chappelle? Like, he should know better, like, be better.
Yeah, he's way old enough to know better. And I tried to watch the first, I think, two comedy specials, and before the recent ones came out, and I fell asleep. And I was, I had woke up. By the time I woke up, it was a whole different comedian on my iPad with Netflix. No, I was like, what? I am not going to rewatch these. I have fell slam asleep. So that lets me know it was not worth my time.
Real time. No, real.
I got me some good sleep, though. That was good sleep right there. That was a good nap. But I was like, nah. And maybe the nap saved me from the tomfoolery of the two series, of those specials. But Dave Chappelle, you know, Dave Chappelle, you know, really defined my undergrad years when his show was at its height. And, you know, in 2004, 2005, 2006, you can make those type of jokes, and they were, you know, tolerated. Were they right? No. But you get away with it. But in 2018, you can't do that, man. Like, we're in a different time. You know, he has to step his game up when it comes to his comedy. Like, doing those old routines are just that old. And, I, you know, Dave is a very talented man. I don't understand why he cannot upgrade and update his comedy routines. I don't understand what that block is for him, or even the resistance, because, you know, from him to see people responses to him and giving people the middle finger still.
Right. And then the if there is, I can't speak for him, but if there is resistance, like, a lot of folks that are like that and don't want to change, because they just, they're like, you know, everyone's so PC now and things used to be different and it's just jokes and stuff like that, but it's just, it's not. And what a lot of people are failing to realize is that it's not that people didn't feel this way before you were aware, it's just that you weren't aware. And social media gives people whose voices you wouldn't have heard because of your limited, you know, a limited exposure. And it's nothing, your limited exposure is somewhat you and not you because of where you are and what you have access to. But now you have access to different voices and they have access to you. So just simply listening to people and why they feel uncomfortable or why they felt something was offensive or whatever, like, it's just common. I would hope it's common human decency, but again and again, I learned that that's just not the case. But just to speak to a larger point, you know, heterosexual people, cishet people, straight people, even those terms are all similar, the same, but just so that you know that I am referring and talking to you, like, we have to do a better job, just a better job at, one, holding each other accountable. Just like if you are a Black person and you want a white person to hold other white people accountable, speaking specifically to Black people, you need to hold yourself accountable and others around you that are being transphobic, that are being homophobic, to your brothers and sisters. Like, what the fuck? This limited liberation, for, if it's not liberation for all, then, you know, you can keep it, because I don't want any parts of it, because some of us just can't be free. It's, right. It has to be all or none at all. And I just don't know how much I can stress that, or anybody else can stress it. So it's at this point, I don't blame anybody who identifies as gay, queer, lesbian, bisexual, asexual, pansexual, transgender, whatever, if they don't feel as though that they want to assist you to not be so ignorant anymore or any of that for free, unless you're paying them, then they shouldn't have to be bothered, because again, the internet is available to you. Google is available to you. If you don't know a term, Google it. You don't have to ask someone, because usually when they're being asked by you, what does cishet mean? They already know that you're probably coming on some bullshit, because you could have easily Googled that. Easily. And you didn't even have to click on a website when you Google it. The definition is right there.
Exactly. I just, you know, I think, you know, we really need to hold each other accountable. And, you know, it's old, it's past, it's old, it's moldy, and it needs to be thrown in the trash. And we need to stop supporting trash people and being trash ourselves. And, you know, I need Netflix to stop giving Dave Chappelle these specials if he's going to continue to do this, because, you know, what's the point of this? You know, I need, you know, us as cishet people to really, like you were saying, so I think put ourselves to learn. Like, Google is free, honey. Going to the library is free. There are plenty of books, things of that nature, to educate you on LGBT issues, so that you don't have to bother anybody to educate you. Like, people, multi-marginalized people, are not here to be your teachers. You know, we are not here to hold your hand. You know, that is not the purpose. And, you know, I really want us to strive to be better. I like to say co-conspirators, others say allies, in 2018. And to really think critically about when people like Dave Chappelle have a platform and use it in a way that harms a group of people. What are you doing to really combat that? Not just expecting people in that particular group to talk about why there are issues with such and such, but how are you working alongside them to eradicate these issues? And how are you also stepping back and not overpowering the voices as well? Right. You know, I think that's a lot of work that all of us can do in 2018 to really be better. Like, if nothing, just be better in 2018. Dave Chappelle, he's old enough to be better. He just, to me, I don't think he wants to. And if he don't want to, okay, that's your right. But know that your money is going to be affected by that. Know that people aren't going to support your work. And if you can live with that, cool. If not, then you need, then you know what you need to do. So I just, I don't know. I just, I don't plan to watch his special, because apparently I was not supposed to watch him in the first place by me going to sleep. So unless I need a good nap again, I would not be watching these specials. I just don't get why Dave is just being a head ass. And but he is a black man, and that's what they do. So.
Well, tea is sip. So one last thing to talk about, I guess, would be the lack of promotion for Proud Mary. Like, if it weren't for Twitter, I probably would have totally forgot this movie was coming out. In fact, I had to tweet myself that it was going to be the first money, the first movie that was going to get my money for 2018, after realizing that it is out this month. Next week, to be exact, which I think is the 12th, February the 12th. So not February the 12th. Wow. See, I'm trying to fast forward to Black Panther. January the 12th is when it'll be out. So I don't know if it's because the movie is bad and the studio knows it, so therefore the lack of, I guess, yeah, the lack of promotion or lack of budget, or just to be plain and simple, because it's a black woman heading this movie, and then there, I don't know, I have no idea, but something's off about this. And either way, I'll find out when I go see it, and if it's terrible, then I'll let y'all know that it's terrible. But I don't know. Like, how do you feel about it? Like, have you seen promotion? Am I just being crazy or what?
No. I've only seen promotions on Twitter, and they mainly been coming from Taraji herself. And this us blurs just resharing it. I probably feel like this is just Hollywood's way of kind of being crappy to Black actresses and not really supporting them the way that they should. Regardless of whether the movie is good or bad, it should still get the same promotion as all the other movies that are just equally good or bad. And Taraji, you know, is a very big name actress. She's not some up and coming. People know who she is.
Right.
So why aren't you promoting this movie like you're supposed to be doing, like you would for anything else? It just really kind of boggles my mind, and you know, it really makes me upset for Taraji, because she's, you know, she's so good at her craft, and regardless of the quality of the film, you know, she still needs to be uplifted in this project and what she's done, and taking the time to do just out of sheer respect for that alone. I just feel like Hollywood just doesn't support its Black actresses like that as they should, and I just think that this movie could be a casualty of that if people don't know about it, and if not many of us go see it.
Yeah, and you know what? It made me also think about like Girls Trip. Like, I remember promotion for that. And then I remember a whole ass load of promotion after it did very well in the box office. And then it felt like all the white folks like, oh, wait, this is good. So promotion was like through the roof. So I don't know. Like, I don't think this movie is going to do well at the box office, just because I don't think people really remember that it's coming out, to be quite honest. But I mean, I hope that it ends up actually being a decent, a solid, decent B movie, and that there's enough hype app coming out of opening weekend that more people go check it out. So we'll find out. Y'all go find out. Y'all go find out about what does someone call it? Atomic Sew-In. So y'all gonna find out about Atomic Sew-In when I see Proud Mary next week. All right. I think that's it, unless you had something that you've seen you just wanted to talk about, get off your chest. But that is it for movie and TV news.
No, I think that we covered the good, the bad, and the ashy.
Just like never too far away. So, Violet, so what do you have going on this month, this year, that you want to share? Please go ahead and do so.
All right. Well, this month I will be speaking at Seattle University for their MLK celebration event. So that'll be my first trip of the year. Hopefully this year will be a little less hectic with the traveling. But just mainly getting my Patreon together. I've been working on that for a while. Very glad that Patreon did not screw up.
It's just, yeah, same.
Did I get Paul for a second? But, let me second guess. But working on my Patreon for this year, working on a very important project with Black women, because that's one of my goals, to work with more Black women and Femmes and telling our stories. I do have a podcast with Neil Carter. We call William and Dylan on the CSPN network. And so we'll be getting back into that this year, 2018. And it's a politically themed podcast, and you get the perspective of two Black disabled people. So it's been really fun to branch out into podcasting and into something very new. And you can find us at Wheel Deal Pod on Twitter. And just continue to, you know, do my writing, do my speaking engagements, just really project the stories of Black disabled women and Femmes, and supporting Black disabled women and Femmes in the work that they're doing. And, you know, just really fighting the isms and phobias that plague this world, and to make sure that all of us reach freedom and liberation, and not just some of us, like Steph was saying earlier. So that's basically what I got going on. Just hitting the ground, willing in my case in 2018, and just continuing to still work and not letting 45 and then nonsense stress me out.
And I hear that.
Keep my head focused and naming and claiming all of the blessings that are for me to get.
I love it. And I love it, actually. So I would like to steal some of that. So I'm here for that. Guys, as far as me, if you're going to Universal FanCon, you will see me there.
Yes,
I do plan on being there.
Yes, yes.
So hopefully I'll get a chance to meet some of y'all there. I have a website up now for the Lemonade Podcast. Go figure, finally got that up. So I'm getting better. I'm finally doing it. I know I've been talking about that website for like a year now, but it's up. You can go to www.thelemonadepodcast.com/wordpress.com. So check that out if you get a chance. Patreon is still up and available. I've been watching The Golden Girls. I just finished season one. So after that, Golden Girls is funny as hell. I'm pretty sure y'all already know that, but if you don't know, you gotta watch. It's on Hulu, all the seasons, but after watching season one, I'm like, I gotta do some type of like review show or something for this. So I'm gonna do that starting next month. And that will be available on Patreon for I think it's $5 tier and up. So if you get a chance, head on over to my Patreon and check that out. But I think that's it, y'all. Until next time, I'll catch you all later.